This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, here we are at the transmission party, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Southampton are back on the wagon and Bayern are champions of the world. It's Friday, 12th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome, one and all. My goodness. I love your friends, Luke. They're all so arty.
Thank you.
Jim Campbell, that sex machine ready to reload, is here with us. How are you doing, Jimmy, baby?
Reload? let's not go into that.
It wasn't me.
I thought I was muted.
Oh, dear. Well, gents, it's a fabulous Freaky Friday on the Football Ramble. And how about it? It's the big one, a new Club World Cup champion, Bayern Munich, completing, as Jim Campbell's well aware, a sextuple of trophies in 9 months. Jim, you've got to hand it to them.
Yeah, I mean, whoever gave them the trophy had no choice but to, based on their own, as ever, stellar performances. I mean, we all wanted André Pierre Gignac to be lifting that trophy, though, didn't we? Let's be honest.
We did. He was top scorer in the tourney.
Yeah.
Which is nice. His thing now, Luke. Gignac is just goals.
I love Gignac for Tigres. Because he looks really hard. Mm. And he's also quite handsome, mm-hmm. In a kind of rugged way.
Yeah.
And so that's
the hard, handsome look.
But one thing I would say, actually, is I noticed this for the first time this morning, that when I was just going over my research and just reading up on stuff, if you type in to Google's like a kind of a final in a football match or whatever, or something you want to look at information on, and it happens to be the morning after a final's been won or lost, it does your little congratulations fireworks and stuff on the Google.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know that. That's the first time I've seen that. So, listen, I'm getting older. Technology's taken over and overtaken me and left me behind. I've actually sit myself thinking that's actually cheered me up a little bit.
Yeah. But fireworks, nice. No matter what happens, fireworks are here to stay.
I think so. I'm against fireworks generally, but I don't mind the online ones.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot that Gignac nearly scored for France in the Euro 2016 final. And like the last minute, I think he hit the post or something like that.
Yes.
You see, but I'm glad he's gone on and done marvellous things at Tigres. But Bayern are the champions. My goodness, when I didn't actually watch the game, but when I saw Benjamin Pavard had scored the goal, I thought, I hope it was a replica or reminiscent of that goal he scored against Argentina
in the
World Cup. And when I read it, it was a short rate sort of tapping, but the way he hit it into the net, it was kind of similar to that goal against Argentina.
He's got a lot of technique sauce, hasn't he?
Oh yeah,
he does. Yeah. I think I forget what was voted for the goal of the tournament for the World Cup. It wasn't Pavard's goal, but let's be honest, it was.
Yeah.
It just was.
Yeah.
It's a thing of beauty.
No, you're absolutely right, Jim. We all remember that very fondly indeed. We should also say that since leaving Stoke City in 2018, Eric Choupo-Moting has now won Ligue 1 twice, the French Cup, the French League Cup, the French Super Cup. He's reached the Champions League final and he's won the Club World Cup. Sometimes it does work out, and I've no doubt that Jerdan Shaqiri will vouch for it, that sometimes leaving Stoke can be good for your health.
The list of ex-Stoke City like Champions League winners is just it's ridiculous.
It's like, crazy, isn't
it? Yeah, haven't they had a player in the final like every year, ex-Stoke players, but since like 1984 or something.
You might be thinking of Inter. But,
I might be thinking of something completely different. I don't care. It's a Friday. No. I'm Dean Mob happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. We should also say, Jim, in one of the most meaningful games in football is the third place match at the Club World Cup. And congratulations to Al Ali, who beat Palmeiras 3-2 on pens. There was a sensational penalty miss from Palmeiras striker.
It's amazing.
Ronnie.
It's so good.
Big Ron.
You keep thinking that you can't see new things in football when something like this comes along.
But you should share it on the social, because it went on. The actual run-up went on for 10 times longer than the penalty itself.
But he telegraphed it so much. You honestly might as well have just really softly rolled it over to the goal, just quickly run over there and saved it himself.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if you haven't seen this, I absolutely implore you to go and look at it. But it is the longest and most elaborate run-up I've ever seen. But when a player does that, immediately the goalkeeper's thinking, right, well, he's obviously not hitting this hard into one of the corners.
No.
Because otherwise he would just run up and hit it hard into the corner. So the goalkeeper thinks, right, he's either going to put it down the middle or he's going to try and wait for me to move. All I need to do is stay still, and my reaction after he's hit it should be quick enough to be able to save this, which of course he did. But it was poor old Felipe Melo, your old mate, Jim, who missed the kick.
The golden bin.
The golden bin.
Wow, Felipe.
The golden bin. Still, though, he's nice to see him at the Club World Cup. Gentlemen, our very own cup competition in bonnie old England was happening last night as well. Chelsea beat Barnsley 1-0. Good to see Kepa starting in goal, Luke Moore.
Yeah, it was. I was about to be rude about this game, but then I kind of second guessed myself and thought, am I turning into a guy who's just rude about every game?
You could be Rudiger about the game.
Although, did he feature? He came on, didn't he?
He missed it. He had a header which went wide.
Yeah, it wasn't. I thought Barnsley actually gave a pretty good account of themselves.
And they should have gone 1-0 up, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should have. They should have, absolutely.
If it wasn't for the heroics of Kepa.
He got a clean sheet. And I think one thing, I mean, joking aside, we know Kepa's been absolutely abysmal. Let's not dance around that.
There,
but joking aside, a new manager comes in and it's a fresh start, you know, why not? And he's given his chance, he's kept a clean sheet. And I would say this, you know, fine, they're playing against an average kind of lower championship side or whatever. Well, it was a difficult pitch, actually, and the temperature was awful. And it's one of those ones where you think, God, just get through this. You know, Alan Shearer said it, I think. You know, if you're the superior team, what you've got to do in this situation, you've got to move the ball as quick as you can. You've got to try and master the conditions and get away with the win as quick as possible. And obviously, Chelsea were able to do that. But it wasn't as easy as maybe some people thought. And you know, they'll be delighted to get away with the win. One thing I would say is that Thomas Tuchel, or as you guys have started to call him, MC Thomas Too Cold, he did look very cold.
Yeah.
Like, he looked very cold.
Tommy Too Cold.
It's not a day to be standing around doing nothing on a touchline of a football match, for sure.
No. Yeah, I think he needs to layer up that Chelsea tracksuit a bit more, I'd say.
How many layers do you reckon he had on, Marcus, under that jacket?
Well, not enough.
Yeah.
Whatever I say, it should be one or two more.
Tommy Too Cold.
Tammy Abraham scored the goal and then made a brilliant goal line clearance, Jim. Good night's work.
He did,
for him.
And he actually said that he preferred the goal line clearance in the post match, which was
because he used to be a defender, didn't he say?
I missed that. If he did,
he said that. He said, "I used to be a defender, so it was all instinct, and I was really pleased with it."
Love that. Bloody love that.
Good on him. Very, very good, likable egg, Tammy Abraham.
Yes. But
yeah, it was. I mean, that was the one moment in the game, I think, where Chelsea kind of found their found their extra gear. You know, where there was a sense when that build-up play was happening, it's like Barnsley have got no answer for this. And, you know, the game was a bit of a difficult watch, let's be honest about it. But that was by design. It was because Barnsley made it hard for Chelsea. They did exactly what you've got to do in that situation. And they fought hard and they just kind of made it a bit of a scrap because clearly the goal's a good example of this. They, you know, the gulf in the levels showed. So what else are you going to do other than try and sort of bring it down to your own?
But you say that Barnsley had a couple of great... I mean, that one when Kepa saved in the first half was a golden opportunity. So they did more than just make it difficult. But unfortunately for them, they've gone. Southampton, they broke their four-match losing streak with a 2-0 win against Wolves. And they were much better than Wolves. I mean, they should have been up before they did, but they eventually saw the game out. It's good to see them back, though, Luke.
Well, I don't agree with that, but the game itself, I thought, a friend of mine was saying, actually, I was chatting to him on WhatsApp while we were watching, and he said, look, Wolves look just so stodgy and slow, yeah. And I know they make some changes, as you'd expect, and it's a difficult season for everyone, as we almost feel like we're duty-bound to continue to state, but the Wolves team that we were excited about, however many months or years ago, whatever it is, seem to have disappeared a little bit.
Yeah, they have.
And they get another chance, obviously, to put it right against Southampton this weekend, because weirdly they're playing them again. But I don't think it can be as simple as what's been suggested. Like, Raul Jimenez's injury was so kind of horrific and difficult that it's affected the whole team. I think that's probably a little bit of a lazy assumption. What I do think's happened is they've got that sort of syndrome where they've been in the Premier League for a little while, and people have started to kind of work out how to play against them. Mm-hmm. And now they just look like they're moving the ball very slowly. It's crucial, I think, in this season more than any other, to keep your tempo, to move the ball quickly, to do things in the right way, and really kind of keep the pace of your game up. And I don't know if you guys disagree with this, and maybe I'm kind of misremembering. I kind of remember Wolves being like a really fast, slick move passing team and being really interesting and sort of quite enthralling to watch. And that's just gone based on what I've seen recently. They were pretty poor against Leicester in that 0-0, and they were poor last night, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's changed.
It's like the running on porridge, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That's sort of what it looks like. It's got that kind of stodgy.
They had enough to get past Arsenal, though, Jim. Crucially,
they will. Yeah.
But I mean, that wasn't a cut and dry win for Wolves by any means.
No, well, Arsenal were the better side, and then sending off changed things.
Granite going to granite. Yeah. And there's only so much you can do to account for that when he's in one of those moods. Ryan Bertrand's finger came out.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He dislocated his finger during that game. I think they popped it back in and it was all right. But, I mean, we're getting some weird injuries now, aren't we?
By the way,
when people say they pop it back in, it sounds like it doesn't cause a fuss. Oh, that's all right. We'll just pop that back in. If you pop in to someone's for a cup of tea, it's a sort of a harmless kind of, oh, someone popped round the other day. We'd barely noticed they were there. It was quite a pleasant experience. It should be they jammed it back in is perhaps a better term.
Well, I think we've got to... Listen, it's interesting, isn't it? If someone pops it, someone dislocates their finger and it gets put back in place, that's interesting. I'm here for that. Yeah. It happens a lot with shoulders, with goalkeepers.
Do you know
apparently, crushingly painful.
I have popped someone's shoulder back in before.
Now you're talking. Talk us through it.
Well, the guy, basically, I was...
Did he ask you to?
Yeah. Is there a doctor on this plane? Yeah. Oh, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
it was many years ago. I was at a Young Life camp in America, and this lad basically had an injury, and he should have gone to the hospital. He didn't, and he hung around. And I'm not being funny. His shoulder kept popping out, so like I think loads of us at some point put it. and after about the 18th one, that was kind of like I think. It hasn't solved itself now, so you need to kind of...
The way you talk about it, that is like it's some kind of action figure where the shoulder comes completely off and you pop it back in. The all-time standard, many of people listening here won't be golf fans, and I understand that, but trust me, the all-time standard for... We're going to use the word that Marcus disagreed with, popping something back into
place.
Well,
that's the word we use.
Yeah, it has to be. Is there's a golfer called Tony Finau, American golfer. I forget which tournament it was. It might have been the Masters. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Tony Finau played an approach shot to the green, a couple of hundred yards. And obviously, as you know, the golfers walk to follow it to go and play their next shot. And he rolled his ankle on a bit of turf and he dislocated his ankle. right? And the camera was on him at the time. And no word of a lie, we'll get social media Finn to share this. He just bends down, pops it back into place himself, and just carries on again.
Blimey.
Oh. And he said afterwards, it happens to me sometimes, if I can pop it back in quickly enough, it stops all the swelling and it's actually fine. Yeah. It's the longer it stays out of place, the harder it gets. He just bends down, pops it back in like he's putting, you know, something, he's just like readjusting his sock or something.
I mean, it's reminiscent to Mel Gibson's character in Lethal Weapon, for crying out loud.
Mm.
Hasenhüttl says Southampton can go for the FA Cup, which is good news, I suppose, for Saints fans.
Can I just do a deal with the universe, re Southampton on that front? I will happily see them get to the final if they get beat 9-0.
Oh, you bitch. Imagine it. Well, yeah. The draw's in. Everton, obviously, against Manchester City. That's a big one. Leicester versus Manchester United, another big one. Chelsea versus Sheffield United. It's an all-Premier League tie, but I think Chelsea will be slightly pleased with that. No disrespect to the Blades, but they are bottom of the league, so they're disrespecting themselves, if anything.
Yeah.
And then there is what Hasenhüttl said is a South Coast derby, which is Bournemouth versus Southampton. Yeah. And also at Bournemouth, apparently Patrick Vieira is being interviewed on Zoom for the Bournemouth job. I don't know if that's currently happening at the time of recording. So there should be a bit of movement there. We don't know if there's a new manager. I don't know. By the time we finish recording, Sven's probably got the job or something like that. But apparently they've ignored Harry Redknapp's recommendation and John Terry is no longer on the shortlist.
I'd love to see Vieira go there, wouldn't you, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great just to see him in English football. I mean, I don't think he had the best time in his last post, did he? So it's hard to know if he's what Bournemouth need. But he's a young manager, so yep. It's good that he's potentially good for us to see him here. I'd enjoy that. I think
he obviously was at Nice before. It's a beautiful part of the world, you know, right down the road from Cannes. Beautiful beaches.
He's
Bournemouth
been in New
just
York.
As good. Yeah,
New York, Nice, Bournemouth.
Yeah.
You'd probably get FIP in Bournemouth, wouldn't he? Okay. French radio.
Yeah,
station.
You probably can pick it up. Yeah, well, you can get it digital now, Jim. Anyway, get it digital. Yeah. So you get it wherever you are.
Well, he was in Manchester once upon a time at Manchester City, and they're playing Tottenham Hotspur this weekend. Mm. And you mentioned cup competition. Spurs have released a range of merch celebrating their progression to the Carabao Cup final. Right, they've not won it yet. The game's not been played. They've reached the final and they are celebrating that in of itself. There are pens celebrating this. There are mugs, key rings, fridge magnets, lanyards, all available.
Hang on. Lanyards?
Yeah.
Who buys a lanyard?
Lanyard is... Whether you're celebrating the Carabao Cup final or not, why are you selling lanyards at all? Like, who is that for? People pretending to work for Spurs?
Yeah, I
like Gareth Bale does.
Looking to really embrace that much in demand private security guard look. The only time you get a lanyard is at a shit conference or something and they give them out for nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know what they're doing there.
Why do they like have high vis vests as well?
So I think it might well be that they must be, it must be some kind of, because a lot of online stores now are just automatic, like terrifyingly just AI generated, aren't they? So they advertise it automatically, and if people buy it, they just make them to order. So I guess maybe it's just been, I mean, first of all, they've got to look at the optics because it does look tin pot to do that.
It does.
I mean, I'm not sure you want to buy a t-shirt with the words, "Come on, you Spurs, Carabao Cup final 2021.
Well, it's only £22, Luke.
It's a deal, actually. I might buy a few of them, actually.
You know what? People are laughing at it, but it is money that they'll make, as long as it makes money. And obviously, it's probably, as you say, like dropshipping and stuff.
That's the spirit, Jim. As long as it makes money.
It's money they otherwise wouldn't have, as evidenced by the fact that I think City have got something similar. It's not quite as extreme, but, you know, this is football, isn't it? And when you look at it like that, dignity can be quite expensive if you really want to not take advantage of these things. I personally am hoping that the Spurs website becomes like Wish, you know, and they'll be selling like hats that are also trombones and things where like you just have no idea what they are.
Yeah. Well, Man City, as you say, they've brought out some cup finalist hoodies. Is that the one that Pep Guardiola's been wearing? I hope he does.
Probably.
I hope they make him wear a cup final hoodie. And even if they lose the cup final, he's having to still wear it.
I wonder if there's... So Man City have lost one game since the end of September in all competitions. Okay, they famously just won all how many ever games it was in a row to break some kind of record. Is there any chat around the fact that they might just quietly go about winning the quadruple?
Well, there is now. Not on the Football Ramble, mate. We were talking about this the other day. And we were saying, is the quadruple on? I think it is. And I tell you something, Riyad Mahrez could do with a bit of a cash injection. Because did you hear this? A fraudster spent £175,000 on his bank card. And it took him it took him a number of weeks to notice. But, Mike, I mean, it's shocking, really. The man currently on bail is due to be sentenced this month. The spending spree in 2017 included spending £20,000 in Ibiza, staying at the hotel in the Shard in London, going to Asper's Casino in London. So you think, okay, so this person's living it up. This bastard, this thief is kind of living it up. This is what we expect from somebody who's going to steal a load of money, do all that kind of stuff. But the other thing that this person spent a lot of money on were binges at Greg's. So in between...
that might just be his mate Greg's. Yeah. Might not be the actual... I mean, I don't know how much you could realistically spend in Greg's.
Apparently. So this you know, this nasty piece of work was in between partying it up in Ibiza, in the Shard Hotel and the casino, all the rest of it, to refuel, was spending shite loads of money.
Do you know how they caught him, Marcus? They caught him because they pulled him over in his car and he had 150 steak slices on the back seat.
I thought you were going to say that Riyad Mahrez was going through it all and he was like, yeah, what's that? A vegan sausage roll? Right, someone else is doing something there.
You know, you say, obviously, the man's a sausage, but what a thrill ride. Do you know what I mean? You think you might get away with it once, and then Riyad Mahrez just keeps not noticing. And you're thinking, like, I'm going to spend $2,000 in Greg's. Yeah. Surely then Riyad Mahrez will notice.
He flew
something
too close
is up.
To the sun.
Nope.
Yeah.
Blimey. I love it. Yeah. I mean, it does annoy me a little bit.
You love it,
Mahrez.
Jim.
Yeah.
Have a bit of respect, Jim, for other people's property.
I've got to be honest. It annoys me that Mahrez hasn't noticed that. So something like $175,000, I could have that if he's not noticing.
Well,
hang on, give that to me.
I mean, Jim, the man is due to be sentenced later this month, so it has been noticed. Okay?
Yeah, you know, but it took a while, didn't it? Like, I just think that would be a nice way for footballers,
Jim,
to connect
a lot
with
of criminals,
the community more.
A lot of criminals get away with get away with stuff for a bit, don't they?
Yeah. Do you not agree?
No.
You give a fan some cash here and there?
Jim.
Honestly, how can you calculate what David Luiz owes me? Because I think we're talking in terms of bricks and mortar rather than pints. Yeah. Like, it's significant.
Jim, have you ever squatted in someone else's property?
Yeah. Are you doing it now?
Yeah. Good Wi-Fi, Lee.
I don't think so.
So don't mind me. I just need a good Wi-Fi connection and I just got to plug my mic in. you won't notice I'm here, but from twice a week in the morning.
Well, chaps.
That would be the most North London type of squatting ever. Yeah. Just roaming podcasters.
Yeah.
Well, we do have Mourinho versus Guardiola again, which is always enjoyable. Mourinho described Tottenham's performance on Wednesday in the cup like the cat and mouse. He said the mouse was our defensive mistakes and the cat was us trying to compensate for it by playing really well. It was not enough.
Yeah, he's a maniac.
Not his best work, is it?
He's a maniac, and I think a lot of people have been flagging the fact that he was apparently openly taking the piss out of games that are 5-4 and 4-4 in the past, saying it's like, you know, it's like hockey. This is not football. This is hockey. And one thing that actually has to be mentioned over and over again is that I think it's clear that the atmosphere he's generating at Spurs is the thing that's causing these mistakes, man. People are low on confidence, it seems to me. Like, I've watched Spurs a few times in recent weeks. To me, they're low on confidence. And to me, it's a mistake to expect them to play... I mean, the Everton game, I'm not really referring to the Everton game when I make this point, but when they played against, was it the Chelsea game, where they got completely bossed? I know they only lost 1-0, but they got completely hammered.
Yeah.
And he's focused, he's trying to execute a really seriously thought out rear guard action. Mm. And they haven't got any good defenders. Like, it's like the best defender was out injured, I think, at the time, or certainly unavailable. And their best players are players going forward. So, I mean, I think he just needs to build confidence to that team. And the thing with Mourinho is that he lulls you into a into a sense where you say, when you're doing this kind of show, you say, well, I think it could be really difficult for them against Man City this weekend because Man City are brilliant. And I think he's going to get a pretty rude awakening when he goes up against them. And then you'll know what will happen. It'll be like 1-1 or something. Or Spurs will nick a win.
Yeah, that's
and then,
right.
And then the heat will be off Mourinho because he'll have executed an amazing way of winning against a really good informed team. And the whole cycle continues. It's kind of quite weird.
Yeah, it is indeed. All right, gents, let's have a quick break and then we'll talk more Premier League after that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stakhanov's award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, is available to listen to now. After securing Premier League survival last season, Ashwood City have a new boss.
The new manager, Sven Goran Eriksson.
I am delighted to be the new head coach at Ashwood City Football Club.
But unfortunately, the same old chief executive.
Oh, fuckity. Fuckity fuck fuck.
Stupid comments from an ex-player chanting make Ashwood great again. Big fucking deal. You know, if he thinks that any of those empty words have had even the slightest impact on Patrick Nolan, MBE, then he is dreaming. Stupid big idiot twat fucking wank wank bollock face.
Follow Ashwood City on and off the pitch every Premier League match week.
I can't even get easy peelers in my local M&S at the moment, Sven, let alone a fullback from Real Sociedad.
I just have a list of players I'd like to bring into your squad.
Okay, well, let me know when you have a list of players you'd like to bring out of the squad.
Described by The Guardian as a must-listen for football fans.
We lied about the corona test result. We isolated our two informed players to stop them playing for England, and now we've asked Man City Football Club to bribe the Premier League on our behalf.
I didn't actually ask them to. I asked if they wanted to.
It's the same fucking thing.
Search The Offensive on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
De Bruyne, De Gea.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Without further ado, it's time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yes, it is indeed. Neil Grant emailed us with a link to York City's own newly launched auction for items from their booth and Crescent Ground, which they said farewell to in January. Neil says, here's another auction for you. All the glamour offered by Liverpool and more. Why would you not want a physio table or used hand dryer from a poorly managed football club? I was half expecting to find the urinals. However, Neil has clearly failed to spot that four stainless steel wall urinals are actually available for £40 a pop. He adds, I will miss the old ground, but I'm not paying £30 for a sign that says six. So if you want a urinal in your house, then so there you go. That's the place to go.
So I was on the show where we talked about the Liverpool Melwood auction, right? And I was talking about how Liverpool are an iconic club and how there's some items in that lot that are quite interesting, and obviously it all goes to charity and all the rest of it. Now, obviously York City are a hugely important club for the community in York, and we talked actually when I interviewed Jonathan Greening on Ramble Meets, he talked about his time at York City and how great a club they are. So I'm not just besmirching them as a club, but do they honestly think someone's going to buy a stainless steel urinal? Like, what are you even going to do with it? You couldn't even take it into your own house. No one has a urinal. I've never once, tell me if I'm wrong, you guys, I've probably been in my whole life in, say, 500 houses. I've never seen a urinal in a house.
And you'd be freaked out if you did.
Yeah, it'd be mad. It'd be like, you'd be like you're in the house of a serial killer.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
It's not... It's not conventional football merchandise like a lanyard, is it?
No, it isn't. And by the way, look, you said about who on earth's going to buy the Roy Hodgson picture at Liverpool and the Brendan Rodgers one.
I thought of you. I thought of you when I said
you've forgotten your old mate Marcus. Yeah. Rodgers and Brendy. Roy and Rodgers together.
What
Roy
I was Rogers. Missing, Marcus, is that, of course, I completely misrepresented and mischaracterised the club because, as we know, at Liverpool, no one walks alone. So, of course, there will be Liverpool fans queuing up to show some solidarity with Roy. Mm. And they would have, I imagine, that the auction will drive the bidding very high and it will be actually bought in the end by a very, very committed Liverpool fan. And more importantly, some money will go to charity.
That's right. Or Danny Murphy could buy it as well. But a committed Liverpool fan, nonetheless.
100%.
So your description is correct.
Marcus, I think that Danny Murphy can get framed photos of Roy whenever he wants on tap.
I'd say so. With a pose of his choice. Yeah. Well, email us, show@footballramble.com, in case the jingle hasn't etched that into your mind for that kind of nonsense. Back to the Premier League, gentlemen. Liverpool are facing Brendan Rodgers' Leicester this weekend. A tasty tie, I think you'll agree. Sad news for Jurgen Klopp. His mother passed away last month, and he was, of course, unable to attend the funeral due to travel restrictions. So, shame for...
That's so sad. For it's Klopp. So and sad.
Yeah. It,
sad
it really is. Yeah, I mean, it does bring home, a lot of the sort of troubles and whatnot that so many people have had during lockdown and so on and so forth. And it can't be easy, you know, if you have that going on in your life and you've got to manage a Premier League side. God bless you, Jurgen. But they've got a tough task against Leicester. And it looks like Jamie Vardy is back in contention, which is the last thing Liverpool would want. Mm-hmm. Now, Leicester have not got a good record against Liverpool, losing six of their last seven. But on the balance of form and with Vardy coming back from his hernia operation and whatnot, Jim, there's a chance for Rodgers' rogues.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a narrative taking place, doesn't it? Like if that is prime Vardy stick the boot in territory when they're down and they're luck a little bit, and he will possibly be a little bit fresh from having been out, even if that's due to an injury. So this potentially will be an amazing game, which, going back to something Luke touched on, means at this stage of the season with this many games played, it will almost certainly be shit.
I would just add to that. I completely agree, by the way, but I would just add to that that the fascinating area of this game, Marcus, you're absolutely right, is the Vardy thing for Leicester, but just how it goes up against Liverpool. Because I think what's become clear now is something that we've been saying on the show for a while, that Henderson needs to be back in that midfield. Mm. And I think he will go back in the midfield for this game. And I think they'll play Kabak, the new signing, at centre-back alongside Fabinho.
And you'll be against Vardy.
Well, I think he has to. Mm. I think he's got to. And Kabak's 20 years old. And he's really highly rated, but he's a kid. And I know that there are different challenges these days when you play centre-back. You play against a team like Man City, for example, half the time you don't really know who you're marking, and defenders want to be up against a striker and try and have that individual battle, and they can't have that. However, if you're talking about a traditional forward versus a defender in the Premier League, I don't think even now, even with Vardy in 2021 being 34 years old or whatever he is, is still one of, if not the hardest tests you can face in the Premier League. And it's going to, I mean, as my Scottish friend used to say, it'll either fix him or it'll fuck him, because he'll never recover from it after Vardy wheels away scoring his fourth of the game, and that'll be the end of that. Or they'll keep a clean sheet, he'll be outstanding, and then his career will go from strength to strength. It's a massive test. And Liverpool, if they lose this and lost three Premier League games in a row, I don't care who you are, if you are defending champions, that is a crisis. And it'll be absolutely intriguing to see what happens next if that happens.
I'm actually really interested to see just what the psychological effect on Liverpool will be. That this is what's his chops starts the game, just in terms of just having defenders, just having actual defenders in that defence. Mm. It's going to be the first time they've actually, you know, realistically, because I don't think you should really count Fabinho because of what he means to them elsewhere. It has been makeshift. It has been completely stopgap for a while now. And I think there will be a psychological boost of just knowing that you've got specialised players in that position, even if they are young, even if they are new. I mean, I doubt he's going to start Davies and Gabak together, but I don't know. I think this is surely going to have a positive effect at some point. It might be a bit early to see that because of the aforementioned Jamie Vardy variable.
Yeah. Well, one interesting piece of news, Jim, coming from Liverpool with regards to their injured players, not the defenders, but thinking more forwards, is Diogo Jota recently topped the FIFA Ultimate Team Champions leaderboard. That happened last weekend, defeating professional gamers to reach that top spot. So he's using his time wisely.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's actually amazing.
That is actually quite an achievement.
I mean, yeah, because professional gamers are exactly that now, aren't they? They make money out of it. They make a living out of it. That's pretty.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
It is amazing, Jim. It is amazing.
If I was a Liverpool fan, I still want to be playing though. No, I'd prefer to be playing.
I think we could all agree on that. We move on to Arsenal versus Leeds. Arsenal have lost their last two after some promising form. They're a point behind Leeds, Jim. Of course, we remember last time they faced each other, Pepe was sent off for his infamous headbutt. And his victim, Aloisi, is apparently rubbing his hands together. Patrick Bamford, after the Palace game, apparently said that Aloisi said in the dressing room, "I can't wait for Sunday." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm playing against my mate Pepe again." Oh, Jim.
Yeah. I think Leeds fans kind of view Alioski as a sort of little bit of
I'm getting
puppy.
Confused with John Aloisi.
To be honest, I thought about correcting you. I thought, no, I love John Aloisi. Yeah. I'm going to let him do it.
Yeah, it's a nice series name. But even if it's, you know, attached to the wrong man.
Do you think, though, that Pepe's going to headbutt Mark Viduka again?
Well, the obvious answer would be Mikel Arteta's probably not going to pick Pepe, is he?
Yeah, Pepe's been in all right form lately. And I say all right. So I think there's a good chance he will start. It's hard to say, really, but I think this is the danger, isn't it? I think Arsenal are going to have a very patchy season where they do like put a run together and then they lose a couple of stupid games, and it's just about how quickly they claw their way out of that. Because I mean, in the last game against Villa, they were so poor. Ollie Watkins supports Arsenal and scored the only goal. So let's make it clear, at our worst, the fans are better than us. So, you know, you've got to really like dig your way out of a situation like that. So, actually, I hope that Alioski's comments rile Arsenal up, but you know, they're probably.
Doesn't happen with Arsenal, does it? Stuff. They can't get riled. It's like impossible for them to get riled up.
Exactly, yeah. They're all living like that guy that nicked Riyad Mahrez's card.
Yeah.
It's their own cards. You're just having a brilliant time. I can't believe how good my life is.
It's their own cards. They're using their own bank card and they're in their overdraft. So they're just hurting themselves.
Yeah. Well apparently it is a rare occasion for an Arsenal player to get riled up, but it does happen. We go to Nicholas Bentner, who apparently, obviously not currently on Arsenal's books, but he signed up for the T coaching course with the Danish Football Association. So maybe one day, Jim, like Arteta, he could go back and manage his old side, something that we all desperately, apart from you, want to happen. But he has expressed a desire to go into coaching after since he's stopped playing. And in an interview in December, he revealed that he had a falling out with Wenger in the summer of 2013 when he was pushing for a move to Crystal Palace. Lord Bentner said Wenger phoned and said, "Sorry, you can't go." That felt like a massive blow to me, as I'd been waiting all week to leave. I called Arsene a wanker and an arsehole so he would have to sell me, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
You're a wanker and an arsehole. Will you sell me? Okay. Damn.
We've not it's a new quote, and I understand why it's in the running order, but we've not learned anything new about Bentner there, have we?
No. We really, really haven't. It's just nice to hear his name, isn't it? I don't know about you. I'm very ready for Bentner the coach.
Oh yeah. It'll be like a firework, wouldn't it? It'll be very, very short but explosive.
Yeah.
I think he does seem to have mellowed a little bit, doesn't he, as he's got older. So I wonder if his kind of huge, huge self-regard will actually work in his favour as a coach. I don't know. You hear stories of Glenn Hoddle being frustrated that his players couldn't do the things that he deemed simple and that he could do because he was such a gifted player. Bentner thought he was that without being that.
Yes.
So what will that do?
There's a good line. There's a long line of players. It seems like a fairly modern phenomenon that you get these players who've got a really high opinion of themselves but don't actually really do much. You'd probably add Arnautovic to that. He's another one. Yeah. Whose like ego like massively outstrips their ability or performance. But
yeah.
I mean, the only person I can think of who hasn't mellowed as they've got older is Pete, I think. Yeah. His weirdness just manifests itself in different ways, but he's still got the fire in his belly, but he hasn't got his head in the freezer. That's the problem.
What about Felipe Melo?
Yeah, I can't really. The only thing I can remember.
He's never been mellow, has he?
No. That's an ironic name.
Yeah. Speaking of managers who, the danger would be that they would show people, their players in training, how to do it. Andrea Pirlo surely has to hold it in sometimes, manager of Juventus.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Did you see this week he had the Derby of Italy, I think it was in the Cup, Inter played Juventus midweek. And Antonio Conte, who, let's be fair, he will tell you if you're not doing it right. I mean, he was a very, very good player, but a different type of player to Pirlo. Apparently, Conte, when they were playing Pirlo's Juventus, he was caught on camera raising his middle finger in the direction of Juventus president Andrea Agnelli, of course, his former boss.
Yeah.
And he's escaped punishment. I feel, though, that's only half the story, because apparently Agnelli told Conte to shut up and fuck off. So even Stevens, I'd say. I don't know which came first, Jim, the shut up or the middle finger? The endless question.
Who knows? Absolutely. I actually think it's quite impressive to give a specific person the middle finger in a football stadium.
Yeah.
Well, it's massive.
No, not at the moment. Not at the moment.
Yeah, still though. Presumably would have been a long way away from him.
I think if Agnelli and Conte are... Who else is that middle finger going to be for? And who else is Agnelli telling to shut up?
Well, he could have just been pointing upward saying, "How am I doing, boss?"
Yeah.
It's a thing that we see in football.
How am I doing, old
boss?
I think he's been given...
Can I just say, there's obviously people will be aware of the meme that goes around of Antonio Conte when he was Chelsea manager. And the quote is, "All I ask..." It was like a post-match quote. And it's become, like I said, it's become a meme. Where Antonio Conte, I think, said in a post-match interview when he was Chelsea manager, "All I ask for is one normal day of Premier League football. will never happen," right?
Yeah.
And what people don't understand, and I don't particularly what Antonio Conte doesn't understand, is that you are going to get no... normal day when you're Antonio Conte.
That's right.
Because everything is done in a blind rage all the time. I'm not saying Antonio Conte's a dickhead, but it's like when people say, you know, if everyone you meet's a dickhead, you're the dickhead, right? If everything you meet, everyone you meet, or every situation you find yourself in goes mad, it might be that you're mad. And I think this is just another example of that.
Yeah, I think he's desperately trying to find some sort of calm and normality. He's using the wrong tools for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like he's, I don't know, trying to hammer his way to kind of, you know, quiet or something. You think, as you keep hitting things, that's where the noise is coming from.
Marcus, what they say, you know what they say, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. No truer word said about Antonio Conte. Well, of course, Italian football expert Nicky Bandini was on yesterday's episode of On the Continent and explained Juventus's current progress under Andrea Pirlo. So do get over to Football Ramble Presents for that lovely bit of podcastery. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Betway's Four to Score.
It is indeed time for Betway's Four to Score, into which entry is absolutely free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win that weekly 50 grand. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, though, guys. That is imperative. And further T's and C's apply. Four games, four of us, we pick one each. The first one is the aforementioned Southampton v Wolves, Sunday midday. Marcus, the brave one, the bravest of all the boys, you are up first. Who have you gone for?
I got for Danny Ings. He opened the scoring
Very fortunate one, wasn't it?
It was a very fortunate one, but he had the bit between his teeth. Yeah. And Wolves aren't scoring. Southampton are back, baby. I think it's going to be Dings.
Dings, yeah. I think John Ruddy might be sitting this one out. game two is West Brom v Man United, just after that one on Sunday afternoon. Jim Campbell.
I have gone for Bruno Fernandes, because he obviously, you know, he scores a lot of goals. Yeah. He takes the penalties, and West Brom aren't very good.
No further questions, Your Honour. Brufern sounds like he would be presenting some kind of like daytime ITV show on the sofa with Philip Schofield. Brufern and Philip Schofield. Game three is Arsenal v Leeds, also on Sunday, and we got our mate Andy Brassel of this parish to pick his first goal scorer, and this is what he said.
Morning, Ramblers. Andy here. Looking forward to this one. And after our party political broadcast for the Patrick Bamford party on this week's Ramble, I think we've only really got one choice. It's Rafinha. No, it's not Rafinha, even though I think he's due a goal or two more. It is Bamford season. So, I'm going to go for Patrick Bamford.
Yeah, there you go. Andy's gone for Patrick Bamford, a.k.a. P-Bam. Okay, Bamford the reload, as Charlie said, producer Charlie said the other day. Game four is Everton v Fulham. That's me. I've gone for, who do you think I've gone for, guys? Why don't you have a little guess?
I think you've gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Do you?
Yeah, that seems like something you'd do.
So I'm hoping Dominic Calvert-Lewin is placed. His list is doubtful, but I like to go for a risk on these types of things. So I have in fact gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, partly for that reason, partly because I think the very thing that I haven't picked a Fulham player would annoy Marcus. So that's why I did that. So in summary, we've got Danny Ings, Bruno Fernandes, Patrick Bamford and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You are welcome to play along, but you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org and make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, and T's and C's apply. All right then, now it's time for this. One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed. Former champion, current people's champion, the man they love to try and knock off his pedestal because he is the best. Oh, that's what it says here anyway. Marcus Speller.
And he did last week, didn't he?
He did. But you're back for more, though. That's to your credit, I think. against the dark horse, I think. The overall dark horse of this competition, Jim Campbell. First time you've played for a while, Jim.
It is, yes. I oscillate wildly in this game.
Yeah.
Sneaking the odd win and then being absolutely terrible at other times. So who knows what you're going to get?
Who knows?
This is. I dub this game the friendly derby.
Yeah, I like that.
Actually, this is weird. I'm sort of behaving like Arsenal.
I'm doing a big Sam buttering you up.
for those who don't have the pleasure of being able to see the guys today, Jim's actually relocated to the kitchen, where he appears to have like the fire. Seems to have like the oven on full, but he's got his head in the freezer. Will that mean a lot when it comes to the result? We'll wait and see. Okay.
So, took a lot of rearranging.
Yeah, exactly. So Marcus, actually, for the first time in a long while, the algorithm tells me because you were beaten last week, you actually are going first this time.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is a new thing on you because you're used to being the champion. Yeah. Jim, you are welcome to appeal that at a later date, and we will listen to your pleas when we can. COVID dependent, of course. So you might just have to take this one on the chin. Marcus is first. The first player. He's played for five clubs in total. Mm-hmm. He retired in 2018, actually. Mm-hmm. It's Younes Kaboul, Marcus. Five clubs of Younes Kaboul.
Ooh.
If you remember him, which I'm sure you do. I met him once in person. He's absolutely gigantic.
Yeah. Younes Kaboul.
And I'm 6'3", right? And fat. And he is. He still looked massive to me. So, I mean, that gives you a measure of how big he is. Can I have an opening bid from you, please?
A very conservative bit of two.
Two? That's a little opportunity for you there, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go for three. I'm not confident, but such is the game.
Jim, the point is you're supposed to show that you are confident. It gives you a better chance of winning. So just pretend you are.
This is the polite derby, should I say. I've gone, all right. I might go for two, and Jim's gone, I suppose I better go for three.
Welcome to this
week. I'm taking one of those run-ups at a penalty where you know the guy's going
to
miss.
Welcome to this week's edition of Who's the Shittest? So Jim's bid three, Marcus. Do I hear four from you?
No, I think I'd like to hear Jim's three.
Okay, Jim, one at a time, please. Three clubs that Yunus Kabul has played for.
He played for Spurs.
That's correct.
I believe he played for your very own Portsmouth.
He did indeed. That's also correct.
This is the one I'm not 100% certain about, but I think he might have also played for Stoke City.
That's incorrect, I'm afraid, Jim. That's a point to Marcus. I can sort of see why you're going for that. You probably would have seen him in the red and white stripes, but they were the red and white stripes of Sunderland, I'm afraid.
Ah, I knew it was one of the graveyards.
Yeah. So he started his career at Auxerre, went to Spurs, Portsmouth, back to Spurs, Sunderland, then finished his career at Watford. So that's one point to Marcus, because Jim failed to name the correct team.
Do you know
team.
I've forgotten about Portsmouth. The one I had in my head was West Brom. I was like, did he play for West Brom? I think after last week's debacle, when I got two players mixed up with each other, I thought that, who was it, Sol Bamba and Christopher Samba got mixed up. And then I had a bit of a mind jobby with Kevin Davis and James Beattie, and I thought, hang on, this is what, no, I,
can
I've
I also
got two.
Say, this is an absolute disease for you, because you also mixed up Mikel Forso and Matty Vidra once.
I did.
Anyway, so the next time, this is the next player. Jim, you get to go first this time. He's played for six clubs in total. It's 1-0 to Marcus. This player's played for six clubs. Retired in 2001. He is Didier Deschamps.
Bloody hell.
Hugely decorated player, amazing midfield player. Loaded all the bullets for all the players to do their funny, fancy things, but he was the one doing the basics.
Because you associate Deschamps so much with France.
A.K.A. the water carrier. Well, he is French, Jim, famously, so that might help you.
Yeah.
Six clubs in total, please.
I'm going to go for three.
That's good, that's a sweet spot, that.
I'll go four, because I think Jim's got three.
Do you hear five? Do I hear five from you, Jim?
You do not.
Okay, so Marcus, you need to name the four, please. Play along at home, everyone. Can you beat Marcus to four? Play along. Marcus, one at a time, four clubs at Didier Deschamps, a.k.a. the water carrier, played for.
I'm confident with three, so I'll have Juventus.
That's correct.
Chelsea. Marseille.
Also correct.
And this is the one, Monaco.
I'm afraid not. That's a point to Jim. What a dramatic set! What a dramatic set of events so far. He did not play for Monaco, so he played for Nantes, Marseille, a little bit of time on loan at Bordeaux, Juventus, Chelsea, ended his career at Valencia.
Oh, of course he did the little sausage.
Yeah, so that's one each. But Marcus, you're up first this time around. Did you have three, Jim, by the way, or did you have Sean?
No.
Okay.
That's a complete bluff.
Well played, Jimmy. Well played.
It's part of it.
For me, Jim, I Juventus, Marseille and Chelsea immediately leapt to mind. So, well played.
Well, I was thinking maybe Stoke.
Yeah, it's always a safe bet. Yeah. All right, this next player's played for nine clubs in total.
Oh,
it's one all, by the way. It's poised. Do you guys not prefer it when there are more clubs?
Well, just there's more going around in your head.
That's exactly right. So sometimes it's actually better. You might hear the player and go, oh, well, they play for loads of clubs that I remember. But they might have been on loan at like Rochdale and some Dutch team that like have a name that sounds rude.
On the other hand, statistically, there's a higher percentage that they've played for Stoke, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Here we go. Nine clubs in total. He's still playing, apparently. So my resources tell
me. It's Ryan Shawcross.
No, it's not. It's Nigel de Jong.
Nine
and Marcus,
clubs.
You're up first. Nigel de Jong. Dutchman. Midfielder, obviously.
I appreciate you for clarifying that for me.
Nine?
Yeah.
Nine clubs, yeah. What do I hear from you as a bid, Marcus, to go 2-1 up?
Oh, dearie dear. I'll go. Oh man!
Need a number. Gonna need a number, my friend.
Two.
Two, okay.
Two.
Jim, do I hear three from you? Opportunity for you here, Jim.
You do hear three from me, yeah.
Okay. Marcus, do I hear four from you? Bearing in mind that both the guesses so far have resulted in the wrong answers. Do I hear four from you, Marcus?
No, I'd like to have Jim do his three, because I'm really struggling on this.
Okay. So, yeah. Jim, one at a time, please. Three clubs that Nigel de Jong has played for.
You've obviously got Manchester City.
That's correct.
I believe from there he went to AC Milan.
That's also correct.
And I'm probably going to kick myself. There's a couple of things going around.
That's what I had.
Yeah. But I'm going to take the punt that Marcus probably would have taken and go for Ajax.
That's also correct.
2-1. Oh, that's what I'd gone for. That was the three I was going to have, and I thought, yeah. No.
Did he play for Al Ahly as well?
He did play for Al Ahly. Very good.
Jim.
Very good. So he played for Ajax, started his career there. Then he went to Hamburg, Manchester City, Milan, LA Galaxy, Galatasaray, Mainz, Al Ahly, and he's currently Al Shahania, where he's plying his trade at the moment, apparently. So that's 2-1 to Jim. You get this one, Jim, and you've won. Player number four, Jim, you get to go first this time as well. He is footballing royalty, genuinely one of my favourite players of all time. He's played for six clubs in total. He is Fabio Cannavaro.
Big Fab.
Fabio Cannavaro has played for six clubs. I'm surprised by that.
I am.
You should. I mean, he's one of my favourite players, so I would be confident on this one, but I never have to do it, do I? So it's easy for me to say. What do I hear from as a bid from you, Jim? Fabio Cannavaro is definitely one of the best centre-backs I've ever seen play. Diminutive in size, but incredible at reading the game. Fantastic technique. He was just a great, great player.
Yeah. I'm going to go for three.
That's the sweet spot, I think. That might have got you the win if you get that. Marcus, what's your play here?
I have to be a bit front. I'll go four.
Nice. Jim?
Yeah, I'd like to hear Marcus four.
And can I just say, before we get Marcus to name his four, this is an example to those listening why he's the people's champion. Because if he's going to go out, he's going to go out on his shield, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to go out fighting. And so he's not letting Jim take the initiative. He's taking the initiative himself. Yes, he may embarrass himself, but he doesn't mind. And that's the thing. So four clubs, Marcus, if you can, one at a time, that Fabio Cannavaro, the great Fabio Cannavaro, has played for.
Real Madrid.
That's correct.
Parma.
That's also correct.
Napoli.
Very good. Correct.
Juventus.
That's your four, and that's two all.
Could I have had Lazio as well?
You couldn't have had Lazio, I'm afraid. No, so very close.
Oh, okay.
So his career very quickly, Napoli, Parma, Inter, Juve, Inter. Real Madrid, Juve again, and he ended his career at the aforementioned Al Ahly.
Yeah, I couldn't.
So, I
knew he was out there in the Middle East. I couldn't remember where for the life of me, because I think he managed a side in Dubai for a short while.
Okay.
So I thought,
okay.
I'd have got the Milan club wrong there.
Okay. Well, the results are the same.
So many of those players have played for all of them.
Yeah, that's
They've played
for
both Milan clubs and Juventus, and it would never happen here.
Well, I was hoping we'd get to a decider, because I'm very pleased with the final player. It's 2-2. Marcus gets to go first on this one. His career spanned 1994 to 2017. A very long, illustrious career. You'll be delighted to know, both of you, that he's played for 15 clubs.
Excellent.
he is, Marcus, you get to go first and set the agenda here for a win. He is Ida Gudjonsson.
Ida.
Ooh. And people say to me sometimes when they listen to this game, we love the game, we love the best part of the week, blah, blah, blah. But they also say, the problem is, Luke, you don't say much in between the people when they're guessing. And I'm like, I can't say anything about them because it will be a clue. So I have to kind of just really make things up as I go along, like saying stuff like, he was 6'1".
Yeah. Oh, blimey, 15 clubs.
Yeah.
There are so many teams going around in my mind. Okay, let's have a think here.
I'm going to need a number from you as soon as possible, please, because a quick game is a good game here.
No, you definitely are. That's very fair. I'm going to go for four.
Four, okay. That's a good opening bid. Jim?
I am going to go on the front foot as well. I'm not overly confident about that fifth one, but we'll see, I guess, won't we?
So you're going to go five?
I am.
Yeah, that's not like you, Jim. You're normally quite a defensive-minded player, but fair enough. Yeah. Marcus, do I hear six from you? It all comes down to this, baby boy.
I really want to say six, but I don't think I can. So if Jim's going to win this, I'll let... Or do I want to have a six?
Come on. What do you think?
I'll let Jim do his five.
Okay, Jim, five, please. One at a time. The clubs that Ilinger Johnson's played for, five of the 15. You're looking to name 33% of the clubs that Ilinger Johnson played for in his career. Please take it away.
Okay, so Bolton Wanderers.
That's correct.
Chelsea, of course.
That's also correct.
He was at Barcelona.
That's correct.
So this is the... I'm not 100% sure about this one, but I think he also played for Ajax.
Marcus Speller wins!
Yes, Marcus Speller does in fact win because he did not play for Ajax.
Jim, that was the fifth one I was thinking. Oddly, really? I had Chelsea, Spurs.
Yes, he played for Spurs, yep.
Barcelona and yes. Bolton. And I had Ajax and Valencia were the two that I had.
Well, I will give you the rundown right now because I think you would have been wrong with Valencia as well, Marcus.
Oh.
Well, what a final game that was. Wow. In the words of Gordon Ramsay, wow. Right. Valur is where he started his career. PSV, KR Reykjavik, Bolton Wanderers, Chelsea, Barcelona, Monaco, Spurs. You're going to kick yourself, guys. Stoke City.
Stoke was coming after Ajax. Ajax was bloody wrong.
Marcus, if you've kicked one shin, please now currently kick the other shin because he also played for Fulham.
Gordon.
AK Athens, Circle Bruges, Club Bruges, Bolton Wanderers again, Shias Huang Everbright, brilliant name for a team, Mulder, and then ended his career, I think out in India at Pune City. So that's your 15. Marcus Speller wins because Jim made a mistake. Great game. Classic game, by the way. Thanks for having the fire in your belly and your head in the freezer, and we'll see you next week for it.
My goodness. Jim, that was a good game. I feel very fortunate. I don't know what it is, but when a player has played for Fulham, I totally forget about it on this game. That's happened a few times. Peter
Marcus,
Beardsley.
I'm so aware of that. I scanned my brain to see if Ilinger Johnson had played for Fulham and it went, nah.
Yeah.
And so clearly that was wrong. Your issues are getting into my head. How difficult this game is.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute bloody pleasure. We'll see you all on Monday for another classic ramble. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke Moore.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Have a lovely weekend.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.